And welcome everybody to the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show. Ray Adams here, your caddy for the show. And I'm with Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional. Of course, I'm with Bob Denny, Dr. Bob, PGA of America's historian emeritus. And we've got a big PGA major championship going on. We're going to have a look at that leaderboard right now. But Craig, let me start with you. And you tell me, what about it? They said Scottie Scheffler can't putt. Here he is right back where he's supposed to be.
Well, yeah, he's given himself a lot of opportunities. He's striking the ball a lot better today than he did yesterday. He's hitting the ball closer. So as he gets more, if he can continue to get more comfortable with the golf course and hit the ball close, he will have his fair share of birdie opportunities, which means he will miss some of them, obviously, but he will slowly creep up the leaderboard. You know, and if he gets his irons and putting going, he will do like he did 2 weeks ago and shoot, you know, something like 30 under par.
Well, I don't know if Quail Hollow is going to – I don't know if they're going to let that happen, Bob. This segment is being brought to you by the North Valley Water Solutions Company at North Valley Water Solutions. .com and the North Valley Cart Care, nvcartcare.com. We have them on the show with me. And of course, a little bit later in the show is going to be one of the great, great industry leaders of our time. 25 years as president of Wilson Golf, now president of Tour Edge Golf. And we're going to be talking with Tim Clark, of course. And we'll do that a little bit later in the show. But right now, Bob, what about this leaderboard? I don't know anybody. Jonathan Vegas, Matthew Pavon, Matt Fitzpatrick, of course we do. Siwoo Kim, Max Homa finally decided to show up and play a little golf. Scotty's there. And then Michael Thorburnson, Christian Bezuidenhout, Ryan Fox, Alex Somali, JT Poston, Robert McIntyre. So this is a leaderboard that they didn't expect, did they?
No, it has a lot to do with the soft conditions. It has a lot to do with people making less mistakes in the first couple of days, finding the right spots, that they're doing their homework. And that's part of the going around Quail Hollow. That's what it's all about, because it's not as easy as it looks. There's a lot of special spots you get to find your way on. And some people think the dome greens are pretty interesting. Back to Scotty, if he has a decent putting week, he will definitely be a contender. That's how good it is. That's what Tiger Woods assessed him at over a year ago when he looked at him. He has a good putting week. He blows away fields. A decent putting week, he contends. An average putting week, he places. So that's where he is. He's just like a racehorse who is finely tuned, and I just think that he's right there. I'd be interested to see if he can pull it off. But I said last show, I thought a European might win it this week, Ray. And right now, if history holds, it would be the first in history of a Central American holding their own. Jonathan Vegas of Venezuela, he'd be the first from Central America to ever win a major championship.
Craig, Jake Knapp, Jordan Spieth, ready for a career Grand Slam, misses the cut. Tom Hogue, Padraig Harrington, Kitayama, Sepp Straka doesn't make it. My goodness, my buddy. I thought he was going to be right there every minute. Shane Lowry, his buddy, last week, he didn't make the cut. Grazerman, JT, Ludwig Aber, Bob's favorite player on the planet, Matsuyama. My goodness. Tell me about Patrick Reed didn't make the cut. Gary Woodland didn't make it. Neither did Jimmy Walker, Ricky Fowler, Dietrich. My goodness gracious. Look at Will Zalatoris, J-Day, Cantley, Cam Smith, Sean McKeel, Martin Kaymer, who won this golf tournament before, Justin Rose. Phil Mickelson shot 100 over par, along with Brooks Koepka. I made that up, folks. Don't write to me. But they shot a lot over par, 9 over par. Craig, what in the world? I mean, I think this golf course is playing pretty easy, and now all of a sudden, all these great players. Look at Dustin Johnson, DJ. 12 over par? Is this some sort of a statement against LIV Golf that they're not preparing the players correctly? And then all of a sudden, look at how many of them don't make the cut. Really? Is that a statement?
Well, I guess you could make that statement, but there's more people from the PGA Tour that didn't make the cut than the ones that did, than the LIV golfers. I mean, you got Jason Duffner didn't make the cut, and he's on the PGA Tour. Adam Hadwin didn't make the cut, and he's on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So I think that's an unfair to sit there and say, is that a, an indictment on the tour? Bryson DeChambeau's playing good. So does that mean that that means that they must be doing something well? I think that's just a bad argument or discussion.
Right, let's talk about the golf course for a minute, Craig. I'm going to start with you. Tell me about the golf course, and is the golf course playing a little easy for them to be where they are, or is it very, very difficult?
Well, I think it's a challenging golf course because it's long, but the softness definitely helps. But I also think that the wetness challenges them in certain ways because the rough gets thicker, it grows a little bit, and then you have to worry about, as they were talking about yesterday, mud balls, and there's different kind of challenges that when it gets wet, and then they're sucking the water out of the ground for the putting greens, so those greens will get drier throughout the week, but the golf course is it's a big league golf course. It's long. I believe it's almost 7,700 yards. I mean, so if they want to tip it out, the par threes are hard. It's got some major league golf holes that you got to hit a lot of quality shots, and you have to do it from the middle of the fairway sometimes, or this golf course is very difficult.
All right, so Scottie Scheffler says, I don't think they understand what it's like literally working your entire life to learn how to hit a golf ball and control it and hit shots and control the shots, the distance, and all of a sudden, due to a rules decision that is completely taken away from us by chance. Craig?
Well, I mean, he's got a point, but there are, just like you get the luck of the draw sometimes if you do AM or PM and it's windy, not windy. There's guys that hit it in the fairway that the ball doesn't pick up any mud. And that's the rub of the green, and that's the way it is, and move on.
Dr. Bob Mudballs.
I was at the 2016 PGA Championship at Baltusrol. That's the only time in history that a lift clean in place was used in a major championship. And I know that the PGA of America and Kerry Hague was desperately wanting not to have that ever happen again and have that tagged on to the PGA. But that was what happened when they had the horrible rain that week. And they were faced with either you're going to have decent playing conditions for everybody or you're going to have a sloppy mess. And that they chose the other side. So that's what happens when you have this situation with rain. And they were on the fine edge of yes or no, I think, on the first two rounds, excuse me, the first round. And they were able to salvage most of the golf course, was able to drain properly, but obviously it didn't happen on the 16th hole. So the purest side of things, yes, you'd never want to see that happen in a major, but sometimes Mother Nature will say, too bad.
So, Craig, should have they allowed for the mud balls or not?
How do you allow for the mud balls? You
You live
either play
clean
down,
and you live
don't
clean
play.
in place.
Oh God, no. I'm a firm believer. I don't care how wet it gets. If it's
Okay.
that wet, then you don't play. If it's not, you don't touch your golf ball. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
And I totally agree with you, by the way, Bob. So we're all on the same page that if you have a mud ball, so sorry, play the ball.
Yeah.
Play the ball down, Bob.
Ray, we golf has been going around for what, 2.5 centuries or longer, 3 centuries now maybe,
Four.
and 4 centuries, whatever we want to start. But 1860 was the first major. Well, I guarantee you that there has been plenty of tipping of the what do you call it, the edge of using a lift kit in place or not in previous majors prior to the modern era. And they all played it without having to lift clean in place.
They're begging me for a nugget, Bob. They're begging me.
Okay. On this day in history, Kathy Whitworth posted
Oh,
her 82nd
I
victory
love her. Love her.
to tie Mickey Wright, and went on to win 88 straight championships. Excuse me. Titles, and Mickey had an all-time record up to that point, and then Kathy tied it at the Lady Michelob tournament for 82nd win, went on to 88, and she's the all-time leader. Congratulations, and always want to pay tribute to Kathy Whitworth.
Nobody has won more golf tournaments, including Tiger and Nicklaus and Palmer and any of them. No one has won more golf tournaments, professional tour events, Craig, than Kathy Whitworth. And yes, I was able to sit down with her. What a blessing. We did a full television show with her before she died. I've got that show. We're going to put it into the right position as far as the editing, some photographs from her partner. It's going to be an unbelievably beautiful show. And when you talk about Kathy Whitworth, you're talking about, I think, well, they say the greatest of all time is Annika. And I agree with that. But when you look at the most golf tournaments won by anybody in history, men or women alike, you're looking at Kathy Whitworth, Craig Renshaw.
Yes, she has a record that nobody can really touch, and that you can't argue with that, man
I
or
don't
woman.
think they ever will. Can anybody ever come close to her, Craig?
Well, as soon as I say no, somebody will get on a roll. I wouldn't suspect that it's one that's out of, I would suspect that one is it's out of the reach for a long, long time. You're going to have a distinguished playing career. That's long, that you're very highly focused, and somebody that dominates the field for a long, long period of time.
Bob, when you look at history, is there anybody even close?
No, not really. And with Tiger Woods and Sam Snead are tied at 82, I believe. And Sam's longevity was, and his ability to play like a man of 50 when he was a man of 65 or 70. You won't see that again. Tiger did all his big winning at the early part of his career before the injuries took over.
Well, and Sam Snead doesn't agree with his numbers. He thinks he won a lot more than that, but they didn't give him credit for it. Bob, how historically correct is he?
I respect Sam and his victories, but a lot of his events that he won were analyzed by a very strict board way back in the 1970s and 80s, and they found that some of the fields in some of the events were such that they didn't match up to the standards that they had in other events going in the tour. During that period of time, they took about a year to go through it, to be honest with you. They also analyzed Byron Nelson's wins as well as Sam Snead. So,
Yeah.
yeah, that wasn't all. It wasn't all Sam, but Sam was a winner. He was very prideful of his victories, and we give him a lot of credit. I just think it's just terrific that from my point of view, to have had to spend some time with Sam, and I got to meet him, and I spent a lot of time with Gary Player, two of the greatest longevity you're ever going to see in any sport, those two.
All right, the Father's Day match for a cause is a big, big 1 hour TV show coming on the golfnewsnet.com. Golfnewsnet.com, that full 1 hour show is going to be coming up there soon, and you're going to be watching it with all new commercials and advertisements put in it. And along with that, you're going to be able to see on the golfnewsnet.com this radio show Saturday today, playing three times and then moving over to the big platforms of Pandora and Spotify and iHeart and Apple and Amazon Music, on and on and on the list goes, wherever you like to get your audio from. You need to download those platforms. You can listen in the car, you can listen wherever you listen. And that is from golfnewsnet.com. And then they go over. The TV show also goes over from the golfnewsnet.com, folks. Match Play with Ray Adams. It also goes over to Roku and Amazon and, well, all the other places TV shows go. And I don't want you to forget that if you want me to put you in my Father's Day big gift guide, the big Father's Day gift guide, you gotta let me know. I'm just about sold out. I'm just about done. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com. Craig, Jonathan Vegas, Matthew Pavon, Matt Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, Max Homa, there's Scotty Scheffler, Michael Thorburnson, Christian Bezuidenhout, Ryan Fox, and Alex Smalley, with JT Poston, Robert McIntyre, and Sam Stevens. And my God, I can't wait to watch it because Ben Griffin is on, along with Denny McCarthy and Ryan Gerard, with Garrick Higo and JJ Spahn. I cannot wait to watch this golf show. Craig, where am I going wrong over here?
Well, you can look at the odds to win, and Jonathan Vegas is at 1200 and he's in first place, and Scottie Scheffler's in fifth and he's at 220. Bryson DeChambeau is at 17th and he's at 900. So there's people that are way ahead of them, and yet the betting public and everybody doesn't think that they got much of a chance to win.
Is the PGA of America crying their eyes out
No.
that these names are there right now, halfway through, and nobody knows who they are, Craig?
Yeah, but that's the PGA's always had one of the deepest fields. So that as a result, you're going to have a lot of people that you don't necessarily know of. And so you're going to get that. I think the only thing they're disappointed in is that they're not getting a Michael Block on TV this year.
Well, what about those 20 players, Dr. Bod, that won their way into the PGA Championship? Do we have any of them there from Michael Block on up? Sergio's in there. He's tied for 63rd. But Elvis Smiley is there. Elvis Smiley is there. I've got to watch it. Because Elvis Smiley is there, Dr. Bob.
He's in the building.
You're
How's that?
killing me over here. Who the Sam Hill is Elvis Smiley? Go ahead. Tell me something big. But what about the 20 and Xander Schauffele? Barely, 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 barely has a cut. It looks like here. Rory down at the bottom of the heap. They're playing terribly. Tell me something big. I need to know.
Well, there hasn't been anybody in the 20 PGA Club professionals this year that will get that special touch at all. Not this year. They haven't made the cut. So it's
Why? Why are they not making the cut? Why? Because they have done before.
Well, with Michael Block 2 years ago as a low club professional, and last year at Valhalla, that wasn't one. But the last time I was at, I wanted to tell you, the last time I was at Quail Hollow in 2017, Omar Uresti was on the green getting his crystal ball bowl while JT was picking up the Wanamaker trophy. So
Yeah.
Omar Uresti at that time was a local professional. It's just whoever has a good week, whoever feels the strongest, has plays it well. And obviously 2 years ago, Michael Block was a star, and he was the one that CBS was ready to shine bigger and brighter than Brooks Koepka that week.
Yeah. Well, none of them are playing any good at all, Craig. I mean, who do you like to win this golf tournament? I mean, my goodness, I'm going back up above the cut line. I mean, I don't know. Scottie Scheffler can still win it. He's five under, but I mean, really, I mean, he shoots 69, 68, five under par. He's there, but can he win this golf tournament with these other guys being at eight under par, or is he too far out?
No, he was my pick on Monday, I believe. I told you that I was taking the boring pick, and I wouldn't change anything right now. I think he's going to slowly keep creeping up the leaderboard and separating himself, and just see where he goes from there.
There we go, Dr. Bob, who wins a golf tournament?
Well, I said in the last show that I thought someone from Europe would win it. Matt Fitzpatrick is right there. He looked very steady in the second round on Friday, and I think he has a shot. He was the one who could certainly challenge Scotty, because Fitzpatrick is a much steadier putter, to be honest with you. I've watched him in the U.S. Open, and I watched him at a couple links, so he has a shot. So I'm just going to say it's going to be someone other than Scotty Scheffler.
You think it's going to be somebody other than Scottie Scheffler? Wow. Craig, he's really on it.
Well, he's going to take the field, and I'll take the one man right now.
Well, I'm going with Scottie as well. Way out on a limb. Way out on a limb. I think Scottie is going to be there. But, you know, Scottie is just better than everybody. Why, Craig, is Scotty better than everybody else? Why is he better?
He hits it closer to the hole than anybody else. He hits it closer to the hole than most people have in a while, truthfully. That's the biggest reason. He's a really good iron player.
And he's not a big hitter, though, is he?
Well, he's long enough out there. He may not be the longest, but he's got enough power that he can hit it as far as he wants to.
But he hits the ball right by the cup.
Ray on Ray on Friday, I watched all Rory, Scotty, and Xander. And of those three, guess who was the closest to the green? He hit a 357-yard drive on that hole on 17.
I'm waiting.
Schauffele put a 9-iron, and he put it in the bunker, a 9-iron, 357-yard drive. And Rory and Scotty, Rory had a 7-iron, Scotty had about a 6.
But Scheffler is T5, and you don't have anybody named Schauffele anywhere near. DeChambeau is in there. Tony Finau is in there. Keegan Bradley's in there. Adam Scott, Victor Hovland. Where is this guy that you're talking about?
I was just talking about what they hit into the green, the length of those three guys. That's what
Yeah.
got me. That's what got me. I wasn't talking about the personalities. I was talking about Rory is considered the longest consistently, right? Along right behind DeChambeau, right? If they both get it in the fairway. But I was just looking at the distance they hit on that hole, and that's what got me. Sevens and 9-irons into that hole. My
Yeah.
goodness gracious. That was a 525-yard par four.
Craig, is this golf course, a PGA Championship golf course? I know we've been there before. We've had winners before. We've had players before. We've done this before, but is this really a PGA Championship golf course?
Yeah, I think it is actually. I think it fits totally with what the PGA has done for many, many years. When they made the schedule change and got everything all aligned, the types of golf courses you were seeing changed up. So it brought in different golf courses than they had before, and it took away golf courses because when you have this in mid-May, there's a lot of golf courses that aren't in good enough shape yet. So we will see the type of golf course probably stay the same, but where we visit is going to be different. And Charlotte is a good place. It's a big golf course, but the PGA's always liked, at least in the last 20, 25 years or more. And it's going to be a finish of 16 to 11 under. That fits the PGA's criteria in a lot of ways.
They say that the PGA championship, Bob, is the greatest talent, the number one most top golfers in the world that play at this golf tournament. Is that what we have this week? And tell me a comment about that.
We've always tried to have at the PGA of America the deepest international and the deepest world ranking of any major. It's held its own since the early 1990s for the deepest of the top 100. I'll say that much, okay? And that's the ones they've always tried to bring into it, regardless whatever tour they're playing from, as long and they have a backup. If there's some people that drop out, the 102nd through the 115th are also in option to get into the field. So that was the intent, to bring that all the major tours available from around the world, all the guys were ranked and people you've never heard before on a regular basis at your dinner table. But they just want to get the deepest possible field. And they've done that. And in case of injuries and so forth, we've had a couple of years, they've had 99 of the top 100 world ranked players. Well, we're never going to get a top 100 because someone's always going to be injured or something, or someone's going to have a child born that week or whatever it may be. But they've come close, and I give them credit for that. They worked hard to build that. And Craig made a very good point. What golf courses are there in the month of May that will be able to be challenging? And that's a good, very good point because of the weather patterns. So
Yeah.
that says it right there for me.
I think Craig was 100% right on. All right, Bob, what do we got going on over on the Champions Tour? We have a big major happening at the Traditions. And the ladies, give us a quick rundown on that. And then, of course, on Monday on the Golf Lifestyle Show, we're going to run through all of the world's golf events, wrapping them up, and a lot more, folks. You can't believe the interview that I have for you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Bob, what do we have happening this weekend, though?
Well, you brought up the region's tradition, and that's just another example of, I think, the scheduling problem of having the same two majors at the same time.
Yeah, we should never have done that.
No, that's part of it, and I just think that's I agree with John Daly, and he picked the one to go to because he knew he's going to have a chance to at least have a chance to make a little bit more if he misses a cut. Dollar wise, but and he knows his friends over there, so I give him that. They're playing at the Greystone Founders Course, Greystone, and as it looks like Richard Green and Stephen Alker, who we know pretty well, a stroke apart. Richard Green's 1300, Mr. Alker's 1200, and a guy I enjoyed to get to know over the years, Chris DeMarco. He's tied for third with Y.E. Yang at 900.
Well, we know Y.E. Yang, right,
Oh,
Craig?
yes.
Yes, we do. Yep.
All right, very good. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today. I've got a great interview when we come back from our advertisements, some wonderful sponsors. Please listen to them, folks, because they've got great programs, they've got great services, and they have great products for you. So have a listen to our wonderful sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be listening to Tim Clark, the president of Tour Edge Golf. Gentlemen, can't wait to be with you on Monday afternoon before the, well, Monday evening, the Golf Lifestyle Show. We're going to level this all out. We're going to get into all the weekend's golf, but especially the PGA Championship. And we'll be looking forward as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much. And folks, hang on just a moment. We'll be back.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, everybody, I want to welcome back right now to the Great American Golf Show. Ray Adams here with you for the rest of the hour. And I've got one of the great, great industry professionals. Let's introduce him right now. You know, folks, once in a while you get to meet and you get to spend some time with some of the great golf industry professionals. And I'm talking about somebody that is, well, in the golf industry, he's a household name. He was with Wilson Golf for 25 years, most of that time president of the company, leading them on to the great things that Wilson did. And we all know about Wilson and some of the other great manufacturers. But now, Tim Clark has been introduced to us as the president of Tour Edge Golf. And I'm welcoming you, Tim, as an old friend, as somebody that we've worked together before. We did television together. We did radio together. And now you're at Tour Edge. And after all these years with the great, I call him the great John Claffey, I have to say that I'm so excited that you took time out of your very busy schedule. Let's talk some Tour Edge golf. But before we do that, tell me how you're feeling. And your
yeah, Ray. It's, well, first of
from
all, thanks for having me on. It's great,
yeah.
great to connect with you. It's been a little while. Like I said, I did a little stint in apparel there after my Wilson tenure ended.
Well,
and,
the Penguin, right? The Penguin.
Yeah, I had the Penguin and I had Callaway. Actually, I had both. So I worked closely with Chip and I knew Chip from his Adams days. So it was a nice arrangement down there. I would say after being in the equipment industry for 25 years, Ray, I would say that. I would have needed 25 years to really get all the details of the apparel making process. So
a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, really. Well, it was great. It was exciting. I mean, Perry Ellis, Oscar Feldenkrais has built an amazing operation there. They're probably the fourth largest producer of golf apparel in the United States behind the big guys. They do a heck of a job. But when David reached out and talked about an opportunity to get back on the hard goods side of the game, and obviously something very dear and near to my heart, it was kind of one of those perfect scenarios for me.
David Glaude, the Master Club designer, the founder of Tour Edge for now decades, brings you on board. He moves to CEO. You're the president of the company. And you come on board at a time where they're now introducing, or they've already done that, but you came on right at the edge. Tour Edge, that was a little joke, everybody.
That was good. I like that.
Don't write to me, anybody. You came right on at the edge of the 725s in for 20 years of the exotics. When you came on board and you got the call from David and you came into the office in Chicago, what were your thoughts? Here I am at Tour Edge. What were your thoughts?
Well, I think that's a great question. I think, well, first and foremost, I always had the utmost respect for what David was able to do. I mean, I always looked at Tour Edge, obviously a Chicago-based company, just like Wilson. And so we saw a lot of them in the marketplace, specifically around Chicago. You're always stronger in your home market sometimes than you get out the outskirts. But I mean, he really had a formula for making some amazing products. If you go back to the old three wood and obviously the exotic three wood that a lot of tour players, I remember Kevin Streelman, who I signed, he had a exotic three wood in the bag and we worked forever to try and get it out. And it just just didn't happen. So, so when I walked in, I really looked at it as an opportunity to accelerate. I think, if I look at my pedigree and what I did at Wilson, I kind of was I guess you call it a turnaround specialist, because we were in pretty bad steads when I got the reins there and I left, and it was a very healthy company. And so I looked at Tour Edge and I thought to myself, this is interesting because they don't have a product problem. They make world-class products. I think they probably maybe don't have enough consumer focus. And I think that's something that, we're developing here as a culture, and everything takes time. But, the nice thing about joining Tour Edge was I knew I had great products. I knew David was a class individual and a great designer. And I also knew that they didn't have baggage. When I took over at Wilson, we were called the Walmart brand and the Kmart brand. And, that's tough mountains to climb. I mean, at least when I, look at Tour Edge, they don't have any of that like lingering baggage. Now they make some great products at performance value pricing, but their distribution is very disciplined. So you don't find them in those undesirable channels where Wilson unfortunately spent a lot of time.
What has always stunned me, Tim, about Tour Edge from day one is not just David's master club designs and the technology, the ingredients, the tediousness, and what the whole team does to put together these unbelievable golf clubs. But what has really stunned me is when I found out they have over 800 fitting stations all over the country. They assemble all the clubs right there in the Chicagoland area, and you're going to get your golf clubs and you're going to get them PDQ.
Yeah, well, I think, it's funny. One of the things that really was intriguing, and it's, again, I talk about the business very straightforward, Ray. It's, I talk about, I call it back of glass, which is the stuff the consumer doesn't see. And then there's the front of glass. And so, things you just talked about, the fact that everything on our ProLine equipment and all of our fitting orders are 100% assembled in the United States, that's a great feat. I mean, that is really something to be proud of. And it's something we're definitely talking about more, because it does a couple things. Number one is, I will say from my previous life, when you have factories building stuff, there are probably a lot more variables. I don't, if you look at this operation and how technical they are and how tight the tolerances are, specifically on swing weight. And that's usually where you see the problems is when you're putting a custom set together, especially in the iron category, you get variance in swing weight. And that was something that really hurt Nike back in the day. They never really wanted to get into the detail that swing weights all had to be matched up. But here, very, very part of their DNA and discipline, which is a great thing. So when you know you're getting a set of irons, the swing weight's going to be the same throughout that set. So that's one. Number two is 48-hour turnaround on custom fitting. I mean, that to me was something, I was a competitor. I didn't know that. And
unparalleled.
And even when I first came in to talk to David about the opportunity, he was telling me about it. And I'm like, I had not heard about it. And I said, David, can you show me your records a little bit to show me that, because I know we used to always say 10 days at Wilson, and then, March, April, and May hit, and all of a sudden it was, 21 to 30. And
Tim, I proved it more than one occasion with listeners and television viewers that took my word on it. and they ordered their clubs. One of them, a great friend of mine, and I actually went to his house 48 hours later, and the clubs were leaned against his front door. Unbelievable.
No, this place, like I said, the operation here is second to none. Tony Herb does the operations here, and it really is impressive. So that is clearly something we're touting now much more with our consumers and our partners. And then the third thing too is, quite honestly, it's the lifetime warranty. I mean, we stand behind everything that comes out of this building, whether it's a package set, a junior set, or a pro line equipment. And that is, that's a statement. When you can call up a company that you had the club for 10 years, and maybe you're not a great player, and maybe you didn't take great care of it, and you do something to it. If you send it in and it's in, it's damaged within the natural realm of golf, which we evaluate, we replace that with either, if we don't have that exact set, with the closest like product to it. And so those are three key pillars that we're definitely talking about externally, from a business perspective. And it does set us apart from the other brands, because they don't offer what we're offering.
Tim, talk a little bit about the explosive growth of women in the game over the years and what Tour Edge is doing for ladies' golf clubs.
I think the women's has been a well, the COVID boom, and this is interesting because I had this same experience kind of at Perry Ellis. The women's game boom of COVID was absolutely incredible, and the amount of women's products that were being sold in the market, whether that be golf equipment or golf apparel, it was pretty staggering how they took to the game, and how much they were taking up consumer buying power, right? And so the nice thing about COVID is, while it's leveled off, we have seen a little bit of correction in the women's category. But that whole thing, rising tides raises all ships. The women are way ahead of where they were at one point.
Oh,
And
yes, they
I think a
are.
lot of this is around the whole thing that golf has done a nice job of talking about, especially during COVID, how it's a healthy sport. You're outside, you're walking, it's a family sport. So if you have young kids, whether you get them into a junior golf program with your local, golf facility, municipal or a private club, they get access to it. And it's a great way to spend a day with the family. So I think that whole thing has really connected with the female golfer and some of the research we've seen. And the other thing is, there's also the things that men have always enjoyed is the camaraderie, right? And all of a sudden, one of the things that was always a difficult thing is there weren't enough women that played. So while you may maybe
Now there are.
now there are, right? And so now you got your group, or your two groups, or your three groups that want to play whatever day it may be, Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, whatever it is. And you kind of have that special golf bond that men have always been blessed with, but now it's trickled into the women. And when you look at the PGA Junior League, it's actually same things happening with kids. So the game has really kind of solidified itself as a great sport to be part of.
When you came on board, Bernard Langer was already there, of course,
Yes.
and he had been a very important part of helping with the wingman wedges. Of course, we
Yes.
have the wingman putter, we have all the beautiful exotics. And this is 20 years of exotics, and next year will be 40 years of Tour Edge. But when
Yes.
you came on board, what were you thinking about working with and talking with and being a part of the world of one of the greatest in history, Bernard Langer?
Yeah, well, obviously, anytime you get a chance to be with a legend of the game, it's a privilege. And I've been very fortunate in my career to have met Mr. Sam Snead, Mr. Gene Sarazen with my early Wilson days. But the funniest part about it in the Bernard story is that he was with Wilson when I joined Wilson, so I actually had met him back
Oh,
when
okay.
he was a staffer over there before he departed. So it was kind of that awkward, hey, good to see you again
Okay.
kind of thing. But I will say that Bernard is He is second to none. That is one class act. He is a wonderful human being. I would say, he's an amazing golfer, a legend in the game, but he's probably even more impressive in the way he deals with life and fans and his family and his priorities. So yeah, getting out there. Now, one thing I will say about him, just, and he would agree with it, he is German. So Germans have some very tight tolerances in everything that they do, whether it's their cars or their golf equipment. So we do go through some iterations with them. Now, the good thing for me is I had the privilege of working with Padraig Harrington through three majors. So Padraig, we used to call him Project Harrington because he changed so much, because you never knew what he was going to bring. But both of those guys are just world-class human beings.
Unbelievable,
And
yeah.
if you can, if you get a chance and you can spend time with him, I obviously have had the opportunity since I've joined Tour Edge to be out with him a few times. It was at his house. Just amazing. Just an amazing man. And what he's done at golf, you think at his, even at Augusta, where I was down with him at Augusta, and one shot from making the cut. I mean, and that was, I watched those first two rounds, and I'll be honest, it was just mind-blowing how impressive his rounds of golf were. And if he didn't have that one unfortunate shot, probably on 15 on Sunday, on Friday, he would have gone long into the weekend. But that's Augusta National, and it doesn't take much, but one little mistake at Augusta, and it's the difference between playing the weekend and going home.
And I know Mr. Longer has said that he's finished at Augusta now as far as playing, but he could come back next year and make the cut. I mean, you look, let me look what they all can do these days. So what an exciting age we live in, Tim, in the age of golf. But now for the recreational golfer, in your new role, Tim, I'm told that you're going to oversee the worldwide golf sales, strategic planning, and operational performance for Tour Edge. And you're going to lead the company into a whole new era of growth, reorganizing the brand. Tell me about what your plans are. What will we see in 6 months?
First and foremost, I mean, as I said, the nice thing is it's an amazingly solid foundation I'm walking into. So this company knows how to run an operation. They've managed their David has managed his brand very well for a very long time. So I, everything I talk about around Tour Edge is acceleration, and what that means is just really let's not look for a new formula, but let's take the stuff that's working and let's magnify it. The first thing you'll see as we come into the next launch cycle, you'll see kind of a minor tweak, and this is maybe a little early, but I'll share it with you. We'll see a little minor tweak to our logo. One of the things that we did some research on, and it won't
Breaking news right here
breaking
from Tim
news.
Clark.
Yes,
Breaking news on
breaking
Great
news.
American Golf right
It is
here. Go for
breaking
it.
news. You will
So we're
see
going to have
a
a little bit more of a modernized logo.
Yeah, you're going to see us. Again, we'll be unveiling it. But yeah, we've done a lot of work. Alessandra Bolero, who's our VP of brand, has been the quarterback of this, and I'm super excited about where we're heading there. And again, it's not going to look a ton different, but it's going to just be a little bit more contemporary, a little bit more youthful, and some of the changes really are built to allow us to better apply the logo to products. As you apply logos to products, especially logos that have tilts and slants, you get limited in what you can do. We're super excited about this. This is kind of the unveiling of the next gen, and that's going to be a whole lot of fun. And I think you'll see that on obviously our products coming out late November. I think the other thing we're going to do is we're obviously doing a whiteboard on where we can play. I personally, have unbelievable experience because of my time at Wilson with, whether it be in, expanded golf bags, whether it be the golf ball area. These are all whiteboard areas where, we're evaluating. And I think there are some places that because of the disciplines that David has had in this company and the fact that he's stood behind his products, I do think there are some places we could enter and be successful, not going to come into categories and try to, outdo the leader in the category, but again, kind of supply our brand lovers a product that they can be proud to have in their bag. And that's the ultimate kind of conversation. And then, of course, expand our distribution worldwide. I was, I ran Wilson Worldwide. When I took over Wilson Golf, it was not very good. I think we were around 83 million. We were losing, I don't know, 22 million, something pretty bad. I mean, there were the threats were to, if I had basically 18 months to show some drastic improvement, or they were going to eliminate the division back then. So, during that 17-year run I had, we actually shored up the ship, and we grew to 175 million, and we were very profitable for the company. So, the good thing here is it's already a profitable business, but I do think we can grow in international markets that would love to have a Tour Edge on board, especially places like Germany, where Bernard's from.
Yeah, it sounds to me, as I hear you talking about your rebranding, your reorganizing, the things you're doing, that in their 40th year, it sounds like you're moving in a direction not away from all the professional tour players where there's been a focus at all. You're going to still stay there,
Stay
but
there.
it sounds like you're really going to focus on the recreational golfer.
We're gonna talk to golf consumers is what we're gonna do,
Okay.
and that's probably a better way to say it, because if you think about, the performance we have in exotics, right? That performance is every bit as good as, Callaway and
Oh,
TaylorMade.
yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, and there is a price value performance factor that you have if you pick Tour Edge. So we're not gonna move away from the roots that David's built on, but we're definitely gonna communicate. We have obviously the investments on tour. We're not changing that direction, but we're going to communicate better with the golfer, is what my ultimate goal
Well,
is.
and there's the whole Hot Launch brand as well,
Yes.
that communicates so well with so many recreational golfers. Again, I've never seen so much power pack technology in a golf club. It's not the exotics layer level, but it's the Hot Launch level. I had a friend of mine buy a set of Hot Launches. He said, "Ray, I went out, and the first thing I did was take an 8 iron out, and I got the ball right up in the air." And he said, "I hadn't played golf in 30 years." I said, "That's what Tour Edge is about, helping you have more fun, get the ball in the air."
Absolutely. And I think the hot launch, I mean, the nice thing is we have a great scenario in place with the, call it the old fashioned business, good, better, best. We have exotics, which is our best line. We have hot launch, which is an amazing, amazing performance product. And I would say the 525 hot launch series is the
Yep.
best looking cosmetics I've ever seen out of Tour Edge. And it's doing exceptionally well for us. It's driving our growth. We're having, we're up over double digits here for the first half of the year so far. And that energy seems to be continuing. If I could manage through some of the Chinese tariffs, life would be even
Well,
better. But that's a day by day event.
that's a whole nother story. And what about these unbelievably cool new Luxe bags?
Yeah, well, the bat, like I said, this is, and this is the key to growing a brand is hitting on all cylinders. And this is what I've kind of, we've been meeting about and talking about, right? We have exotics winning third party awards, specifically the driver. We had in July of last year, right, as I joined the company, we had the 723 iron win game improvement product of the year. Then you turn around, we have the Luxe bags coming out that are just beautiful bags that are
They are.
super functional. The stands are fantastic. We have the Hot Launch series, which is the best cosmetics we've ever launched. And then obviously we have our stable of what I call super high quality package sets in the TE 200 to TE 400, which just kind of launched back in October. So, when you start hitting on all cylinders, and this is kind of the secret sauce of golf, that's when you see revenue growth, right? And there that's a lot of pressure on David and the R&D team, because they have to deliver that.
Well,
I can only guide, and but the consumer in golf is a very astute consumer. if you give them an inferior product, they will figure it out, and they will figure it out fast.
I look at golf and I look at the whole state of golf from the men's game to the women's game. I was just interviewing Sophia Popoff the other day, and there's a great video up about her. So you look at all the women, you look at all the men, you look at all the tours around the world, but then there's the tens upon tens upon tens of millions of recreational golfers. And it sounds to me, Tim, that they're in for some fun stuff coming up.
Well, I always say, and this is the simple formula that I like to run is that if you can make the game, if you can give a golfer a wow factor, whether that's a male or female, they hit something. And I've seen that with the Exotics line here at Tour Edge, where you give them something and somebody hits it and goes, holy cow, that's easy to hit, or that's good. Or like your friend said with the hot launch. Those are the comments that you know you're winning, because those are the memorable moments. And that is that whole Six Sigma thing where that player in a foursome that has that experience is going to be the best advertising you can ever have, because she's going to tell six of his male friends, or she's going to tell six of her female friends. And that's how you take this thing and how we take it from where we are today to a much more sustainable worldwide company. And that's where we're going.
Tim Clark is who you're listening to. He's the president of Tour Edge Golf, one of the industry stalwarts, a household name in the golf industry above and beyond many others. Tim, I just had a listener while we were talking ask me, will you please ask Tim, give us a secret about what he thinks about golf, where we're headed, the industry, maybe even Tour Edge. Give us a little secret of where Tim Clark's heart is.
Yeah, well, obviously my heart and passion's in golf. I am an avid golfer, so I am as much of a golf consumer of goods that we don't make at Tour Edge, because I do, fortunately, David gives me my stuff for free, but I do try everything. But I really believe, and this is where I think we're getting there, and I think it's taken a long time, and we've always had trouble in the golf space with alignment. And when I say alignment, meaning that unity among the sport, whether with the USGA, PGA now live, I mean, the fragmentation is not healthy in any industry, and it's definitely something that we'd like to see things more unified. But the one thing I will say that I like about golf today is that golf has this established itself as a great place to go have fun, to get exercise, to spend time with your family. And I believe that is the longevity of the sport. And that is when you look at the growth of the game, where we're up over whatever 28, 29 million players a year, and that's up from not too long ago when, and you remember this very well, right? We were getting nervous. We were going to dip below, 20 million at one point with
Well,
the
golf was
labor.
in trouble. It
It
was,
was
and it took
that.
a pandemic to bring it back.
Hey, you're absolutely correct, and I, lived that every day in my old chair. So I think the fact that the thing is, if we can keep people focused on the things that it does that's beneficial, right? The fun that you can have, and we as a manufacturer continue to provide products that make it a more enjoyable experience. Because one thing I learned in life is nobody does something to get worse at it, right? They just don't. I mean, if you start getting worse at something, guess what?
You
You
quit.
quit. You go do something else. So I think part of this formula that we're dealing with is, and I still hope the USGA considers that ball rollback. I personally think that's a big mistake myself.
I'm nervous about it.
Yeah, I mean, we got good energy in the game. It's a hard game for the average handicapper. It's, the tour players, I've been privileged to be around them and stand with Gary Woodland, him hitting drivers. That is nothing like you and I, right? That is a different experience.
Love Gary's been on my TV show. Well,
Yeah.
all the people we've talked about today have been on my TV show at one
Yeah,
time
I
or
know.
another.
Yeah. So from that perspective, I do think the unity of message and keeping that fun aspect is the secret to longevity and success in golf. And the one thing I'll even say is, like, it's interesting because if I go back 15 years, and you could talk about this too, right? Like, there was a lot more talk about a tour player this or a tour player that. What's interesting about today is you're not hearing that much about, you'll hear about a Rory, maybe, a top two or three guy, but you're not hearing about really the other guys anymore. But the game is healthy, meaning the rounds or players staying very high. So it's a very good formula because it's not being driven, let's say, the Tiger Woods effect, which was a huge effect back back in his run, where people got in the game because of Tiger. What's nice is people are getting in the game for emotional connection and reasons, and that is a sustainable model versus, oh, I like Rory McIlroy, so I'm going to play golf. And then if Rory's not playing well, all of a sudden I go away. So I like where we're at. I think that the industry has been around for a long time, and I think I think the future is very bright for the golf space.
Absolutely, it is. And that's because of people like David Glaude, Tour Edge, companies like Tour Edge, people like you, Tim. Thank you so much for joining me today, folks.
Oh.
This is Tim Clark, the president of Tour Edge. You want to get to touredge.com, find out everything. My gosh, get yourself one of those 725 drivers, right, Tim? And get yourself a beautiful Lux bag.
Yeah.
Father's Day is coming.
Coming, yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Ray. And like I said, it's great to see you again. And I really appreciate you taking time and having me on your show. You got a world-class product, and it's always good to be affiliated with successful people. So thank you.
Will you promise me you'll come on again?
Yes, sir. I will do it again. After I get through some of this stuff, we'll get some
Yes.
exciting news. Get some exciting news in November, and I'll give you the inside scoop
Absolutely, we
on it.
will. All right,
All
there he
right.
is. There he is, Tim Clark. Thank you so much today, Tim. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to Great American Golf today. Appreciate you so much. What a great show with Tim Clark and with Dr. Bob Denny and, of course, Craig Renshaw and all of you and our sponsors. Thanks so much. We will be back with you on Monday. The Golf Lifestyle Show is coming to wrap it all up after the weekend.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.